Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
A couple other highlights. We've got monthly meeting right after the service today. So if you're part of that, or maybe you've got a report to give, please be at our monthly meeting right after our service. One of my friends, Jenny Young, is in the house. Jenny, just want to say hey, not to embarrass you, but just to say hey. And all of our guests, if you are a guest here, we have a gift for you. Pastor Andrew standing right there. We've got a gift table that we would just like to give you a little gift. It's got some information about our church and some fun things inside of that. Shane, I would like if you would cue up that audio. Something fun happened this past week, and Dustin and Melissa opened their home on Thursday night to Campus Life to start a worship band with our high school, a high school worship band through Campus Life. And Andrew was there, and he's sneaky, and he got a recording of these kids worshiping. Now, I want you guys to hear this. Cool? Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool, man. And so that's going on in their house with kids coming over to worship. And so they're going to be pouring into some high school kids, developing skills and talents as it comes to music and instruments and singing. And then also, how do we lead people into the presence of the Lord and help kind of push past that thin veil till we get to the presence of God? And so I would just like to pray over you guys. Can we just pray a blessing? Would y'all mind standing? And if you would, join with me in prayer over Dustin and Melissa, as we're just going to pray that God would bless what they're going to be doing. Jesus, we thank you for this couple. We thank you that you've put music in their hearts and you've put music in their spirits. And now they're being able to be used by you to impart to this next generation. We pray for musicians to be raised up, for worship leaders. God, we pray for rich worship to come out of their home and into the high school. God, through Campus Life and their Monday night meetings, youth groups around the community, everything, God, that's going on in the life of these kids as it comes to this music team, we pray a blessing upon, that you would anoint Dustin and Missy to have a massive impact here. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Right on. All right. Well, last week we talked about the faithfulness of God as it came to specifically our house and our church here. And I want to continue there. Retelling the story is helpful. To retell the story is how they would communicate the Bible stories over the course of history. And mothers and fathers would sit their children down and say, this is our family lineage and this is our story. And so you would know that over the course of time. And so, or they would have documented written history as the canons of scripture in which we have today. And so last week, just retelling the story of Fairmount Friends is a biblical exercise to remember. Remembering is a spiritual discipline. Remember the Lord your God, how he redeemed you, how he saved you, how he led you out of Egypt, how he set you free, right? And how he's set us free here in this community, and how he has launched us out through church planting efforts and movements. And Pastor Andrew, in our class this morning, I want to encourage you, we're teaching a class on the fundamental foundational truths or the history of Quakerism. And what does it mean to be a Quaker? And Pastor Andrew said this, most church plants last 3 years. This church plant is at a 170. We've beat the bell curve, all right? And things are going well. And it was fun just to kind of revisit the past of where we've been. Our scripture this morning is going to be in Exodus chapter 14. If you would, flip there with me in Exodus chapter 14, and we're going to spend some time in this scripture as we're going to talk about the people of Israel that were led by Moses out of Egypt, and how did that go? And was it as easy as we can just kind of pass it off to be, or were there some faithful moments of God that he was sure to lead them through? We see here from the jump that Pharaoh is told to let my people go, as Moses says. And we catch up to the story here in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 4. If you're there, say there. All right. God tells Moses, and I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them, but I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. Interesting here that God is the one who initiates the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. It was God who put something in Pharaoh's heart to harden this thing towards God's people. It's God who spurs on this whole issue here. So Pharaoh lets the people go. The people are walking out of Egypt. Some estimate 2 million people. The Bible records 600 fighting men. Okay, so that's probably men that are around 18 years old and older, including women and children. We're probably 2 million, maybe 3 million people. Can you imagine going to the city of Indianapolis times three and trying to lead them anywhere? And he's going to lead them out of bondage into like this open desert wilderness place where he's got potentially 3 million people, and God's the one that initiates. Perhaps you might be wondering, why does God harden Pharaoh's heart toward me? Why would God do something that would cause me harm? Why is God the instigator of something that's going to inflict pain upon me? And I'm going through a crisis, and why was God cashed out during my crisis? Why was he napping in my nightmare? Like, why was God disconnected from all of my discouragement and depression? But perhaps he wasn't. Maybe God was in the middle of it all along. He was faithful. In verse 5, it says, when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go. We've lost all their services. Like a good government official, Pharaoh, he says, we just let all the people that are going to do the jobs for us. We don't like working. We want them to work, right? And we just let them go. What are we thinking? Verse 6, so he had his chariots made ready, and he took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all of the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so here's the reason. I'm going to harden his heart so this will happen, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. I think this is fascinating that God used a unique way to destroy the enemy's best chariots. He's going to lead them up to the Red Sea. The Red Sea's coming. I'll already give you the cliffhanger. They make it, okay? And the Red Sea is parted and the people get free. And God hardens Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue the Israelites. And what a crafty storyteller God is. Because Moses wasn't just going to walk into Pharaoh's barns and light the place on fire and burn down all of his best chariots and his horses and all of his soldiers. God did something to utterly obliterate the enemy that no other wise person could have thought of. God was intentional, even in the place of hardship and suffering. God was behind the scenes, moving some chess pieces around to get to a deeper issue here. And also so that he would get glory out of Pharaoh. And that he would get glory out of Pharaoh's army being utterly destroyed. The other night, I'm wrestling with Judah in the kitchen. And we're going back and forth, and usually it starts out with some fun jabs, it's some tickling, and then it's kind of some frustration, and then we'll maybe take some swings, and then it's back to, hey, we're good, right? All right, let's get back to like little noogies and tickling. And he's on me. And Judah's getting a little bit longer. He's getting a little bit stronger. And he's on me. And he's got his hand so far up my armpit. I can't hardly handle it. I'm laughing. And I'm like, oh, I'm squealing and all this sort of stuff. And he's starting to get some confidence. Y'all remember whenever you thought you could take Dad? Remember that moment? He's getting some confidence built up, and man, it's like this moment. It's like, I got him, man. Like, I'm 11. I got this. And there was this moment when I'm down and I'm kind of letting him go for it, where I just stand up, and now he's on top of my back. And I thought I had the lion, but I only had the tail. And I'm, oh my gosh, and he lifted me up. And as soon as I stood up, there was a quick reminder who the dad was. And he's on top of my shoulders, and I got him, and I put him in the torture rack, and I got his head on one side and his legs on the other, and I bend him over my shoulders. Ah! I mean, he's in pain, and I'm laughing. I loved it. The girls are cheering me on. Yay, Dad! This was awesome. This was a cool moment. I needed that moment. I just needed some encouragement that day. I felt good about myself. And there's this little cat and mouse game we see here, that God, the storyteller, is playing this little cat and mouse game, and he's baiting the enemy in, only to wipe them out. Verse 11, they said to Moses, was it because there were no, this is the people responding back to their leader, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. I'm going to speak to all you really quick as leaders. And everyone in here is a leader to some degree. You lead your own life. You lead your family. You lead maybe a committee. You lead in the community. You lead your business. I don't know what you lead. But I'll tell you this. There are always critics, and critics can sting sometimes. Like, I'm trying to do my best, man. I'm leading us out of bondage into freedom. And the response back is we would rather have stayed there and died and serve as slaves than to follow this wild man. What are you doing? And the critics get loud and it gets frustrating. And maybe it's employees on a decision that you made. Maybe it's a coworker. Maybe it's inside your own home. Don't know what those tension points are. But it stings after a while. And I'll tell you, as the problems are mounting, I believe this. I believe that a strong and a good leader, the voice of a leader, is sent to strengthen spines. And when they want to tell you all of the problems, as we should look at all the problems, but our focus is on the promises. And we're looking at God and saying, God, we know what you've called us to. And it's not just a crisis, but there's a calling. And it's not just the problems, but there's a promise. And the leader has to see the vision. I just want to encourage you, see the vision. See something bigger and have it in your knower what you know God's called you to do. God, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I've spent time in your presence and this is what you've called me to do. And he knows it. And Moses answers the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. How about this? How many times do we see in Scripture when an angel of the Lord shows up, or Jesus walks through the wall with Thomas, or we see that an angel shows up to Mary? The first thing that they usually do is, they freak out. There's an angel. And the response is, don't be afraid. We're not freaking out right now. Don't freak out. Let's keep the freak out to a minimum. And then many times Jesus will say, be of good cheer. Cheer up, guys. It's going to be okay, right? And so here comes Moses. Here comes this leader. Everyone's freaking out. He's receiving the monkey survey, came back in, and it says that you're a bad leader, okay? So he took the survey. You're not awesome. We would rather have been slaves rather than pursue freedom. Okay, so he got the survey in, and his response is, okay, let's not freak out. We're going to be okay. And he starts strengthening some spines. And he says, stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring to you today. He goes into coach mode. He gets this halftime speech. It's Newt Rockne. We're going to go inside, outside, inside, outside. We're going to take them all the way. And when we go all the way, we're going to keep going all the way. That was Rudy, if nobody knew. The Egyptians, and he says, we're going to go all the way. And the Egyptians, you will see today, the Egyptians that you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. I think that it's pretty cool that a powerful fighting position could be just on your knees, just hanging in the presence of the Lord. God, we got to fight this battle, and I got to fight for my kids right now, and they are far from you, and I got to go to the war room and just hit the deck and just seek the carpet and get after the humility of just, Jesus, you're the breaker. You got to break through right now. I don't know what those different seasons of life that you're in, but you're saying, God, I got to start fighting for my family. I got to start fighting for my business. I got to start fighting for my marriage. I don't know what it is, but the way to fight many times is just to be in the presence of the Lord. And God, I just got to be with you. And I want to encourage for some of you to not live in fear, to stand firm, and to be still. To not live in fear. I'll tell you, making decisions out of fear is a terrible decision maker. You're like, man, I don't know what to do, and I'm freaking out. I'm just going to start making some decisions. It's a bad idea. So we're going to pump the brakes on the fear. We're going to stand firm on what we know God's called us to do. And we're just going to live in the face of Jesus. That's going to live in the presence. The power of the presence is a good place to fight this battle. And so for you as leaders, I want to encourage you to be that voice that strengthens spines, that calms fear, that brings peace to the waves, but casts a vision that rallies hearts. Come on. We're going to rally our hearts. We've got what it takes. Let's go. And whenever you see God, that he's called you to do something, I want you to remember this. When you know that God's called you to do something, stop praying about it and just take action. Check this out, verse 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so here's the reason I'm hardening their hearts, so that they will go in after the Israelites. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all of his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. God will show that he is faithful in the fight. I believe that God gets glory in our going. When we go, when we move, when we make some standing firm steel in our spine moves. I think it's kind of cool. We've got a few of our Taylor students here in the house, or maybe some college age, or you're kind of late high school, or you're into college now. I'll tell you, for that season of life was one of the most lonely seasons of my life. And I'm surrounded by thousands of people doing it alone. Because I just wanted that girl beside my side. I wanted that wife with me. Maybe you want that husband or that wife, or you want that family going on. It was just a lonely period of time. And I want to encourage you that there's some convictions inside of your spirit that you have to stay firm on. That we don't negotiate with the enemy. That we don't start getting tempted and lured and lulled asleep and to move in different directions. To stand firm knowing what God has called you to do. I just want to strengthen some spines today. I want to rally some hearts. Let's not live in fear. Don't freak out. Freaking out's a bad move. If freaking out is your strategy to win, that's a bad strategy. We're going to pump the brakes on fear. I'm going to live with peace. It's going to reign and rule in my spirit. I'm going to say, Jesus, I'm going to make some radical decisions, trusting and believing in you that you're going to be faithful to bust me through in this season of life. Maybe for, I don't know, whatever your season of life is. But I know that God wants to lead you on a pretty cool story, on a really great adventure. I'm reading this book right now. It's called The Wild Goose Chase by Mark Batterson.
I've had this book for a few years, and I cracked it back open recently. And as I read the first page, and I just sat there and I dropped the book. It just dropped on the floor, and I put my head in my hands. And I just started praying to the Lord, let me get this spirit. I'm going to read the first page to you. The first chapter is called Yawning Angels. Helen Keller said, life is either a daring adventure or nothing. The Celtic Christians had a name for the Holy Spirit that always intrigued me. They called him An Gaidh Glas, or the wild goose. I love the imagery and implications. The name hints at the mysterious nature of the Holy Spirit. Much like a wild goose, the Spirit of God cannot be tracked or tamed. An element of danger and an air of unpredictability surrounds him. And while the name may sound a little sacrilegious at first earshot, I cannot think of a better description of what it's like to pursue the Spirit's leading than through that of a wild goose chase. I think the Celtic Christians were onto something that institutionalized Christianity has missed out on. And I wonder if we have clipped the wings of the wild goose and we've settled for something less, much less than what God originally intended for us. I dropped the book. I was like, dear Jesus, help me pursue the goose. Help me go on this wild goose chase where this goose is untracked and he's untamed and it's in Egypt one moment and it's standing up to Pharaoh the next moment and it's leading a couple million people out of bondage and it's the Red Sea in front of you, Pharaoh's army behind you. It's the wild goose and he says, hey, don't be afraid. I got this. We're good. I got you right where I want you. And I've done this piece over here, and I've hardened this, and I've drawn them in, and we're gonna see this awesome, amazing display of my faithfulness. And I'm going to be really, really good right here. So don't freak out. I got you. And I don't want to have this moment where I'm like, God, I don't know if you got me. I need to got me. I need to handle this. I need to take some control here because the Red Sea is intimidating. Pharaoh's army's freaking me out. I'm freaking out right now. I need to take some control. And instead of putting faith in his faithfulness, I was like, God, let me have a hunger for the goose chase again. A few years ago, we as a family were at, Turkey Run. We were at Turkey Run. And the kids, they were doing like, they were on this trail just kind of, you know, doing this thing. And I said, hey, you guys are doing this trail. I just want to like look over here on the other side. And Alyssa was with them. I didn't leave them by themselves. And so I kind of take this little path over here and I see a wild turkey up here in the midst of the trees and on this hill. And I was like, I want to get as close as possible to this wild turkey. And so I'm chasing it, and it's kind of doing this weird, like, little thing, and it's got this, like, chin that just, like, swings back and forth, and, you know, all the, I'm chasing this, I'm just not chasing it, I'm trying to sneak up on it. Birds are so smart, and he's kind of doing this little thing, and he's, like, up and over this hill, and I'm like, oh my gosh, he's getting away from me, and he's not even flying, like, I'm trying to catch up, and he dips and ducks and dodges, and he crosses over, and before long, he's gone. I'm like, how did that just happen? And I end up on somebody else's farm on the backside of Turkey Run. I didn't know where I was. I see fences and there's cattle. I'm like, what? I don't know where I'm at. And so then I'm trying to holler back, like, where are my kids? Like, I'm trying to get back to this because I was so pumped to follow this wild turkey. And I'll tell you, there's this energy in following the goose, the Holy Ghost. There's something about going on a goose chase, and you're like, Jesus, I don't know where I'm going. I don't necessarily know what I'm doing, but I'm not going to try to control this thing. I'm just going to live in trust that you're good and that you're faithful. And I know that you've called me to lead the people out of Israel or out of Egypt. And I know that it's going to be hard, and there's enemies on my heels. But God, I'm just banking on your faithfulness on this one. I'm not going to live in fear. I know you've called me to start this business, and I'm freaking out right now. Open a business in the midst of COVID, that's a terrible idea. And yet, God, I'm going to trust you on this one. Or, God, I got to do some things differently with my family, with my kids, and I'm not sure that my wife's on board, or that my kids are going to rally around this. I don't know. But, God, I know I got to chart a new day. And, Holy Spirit, would you lead me on this wild goose chase? My response is, I'm going to have a yes in my heart, saying, let's go. I'm going to trust you. And not just live in this Christianese kind of a church attendance is what my Christian world is, but to truly follow this wild goose into the great unknown. And so here we have Moses. He's leading these people seemingly on this goose chase that ends in front of the Red Sea. Look at this, verse 19. It says, the angel of God, or could I even just say the wild goose? The goose of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. Okay, so they had a pillar of a cloud by day on one side, and on the back side of that cloud was a pillar of fire at night. Okay, so they got a cloud by day, fire by night is leading them. It says the pillar of the cloud, this is verse 19, also moved from front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. So now they're clouded. They got some cloud coverage here. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side, but it brought light to the other side. So neither went near the other all night. The Egyptians are now blanketed in darkness by this cloud, and the Israelites are enlightened with the fire at night so they can continue to see what's going on. And so they never engaged all night. Where am I at? Verse 21. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all that night the Lord drove back the sea with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. This is interesting. God drove the seas back all night. If this is such a miracle, God, why don't you do it immediately? Just do it. Boom. Done. Dry land. Let's go. Let's roll. God, why do I have to endure this cancer? Heal me now. God, why do I have to endure this emotional and mental suffering and this pain? Come on. Heal me. Let's go. Let's just do it. God, why did you take all night in the darkness, in the weariness, and the enemy is just, he will not stop, and the critics within are just, why are you taking so long? Push the waters, let's move. I want to encourage you, even in that night, God was doing something, and it was working. It's working. And he's pushing the walls of the waves backwards. The land is becoming dry. It's working, even if it's taking some time. Don't just say, man, my marriage was hard, and we went to 2 counseling sessions, and I'm out. But it was working. Stay in it. I called my kids, and that didn't go over very well. And they said, no, we're not coming for the holidays. But you don't know. Maybe it's working. Maybe there's something going on inside of there, and it might not happen immediately. But God is in the move at night in the midst of the hardship. He's doing something miraculous. So don't freak out, and don't start making bad decisions, especially in the dark. I make good decisions with the lights on, bad decisions with the lights off. At night, let's just get really quiet. Let's stay close and near to the Lord. Stay close to that pillar of fire. Let's not leave. Let's not make weird decisions. But Jesus, we're just going to trust you in this. And it's working. Maybe for some of you, you've made some tough decisions and you're looking back and you're thinking, man, I don't know. Golly, man, I don't know about that. Hang in there. If you know that God has called you to it, stay in the game. It just could be working itself out. In Psalm 30, verse 15, it says, weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. He keeps going here in 21. The waters were divided. And the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water to their right and to their left. The Egyptians pursued them. And the Pharisees, and Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillar of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army, and he threw it into confusion. He jammed the wheels of the chariot so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptian said, "Let's get away from these Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them and against Egypt." Realization came. Oh, shoot. We're messing with Dad. And Dad's big. And Dad did a little cat and mouse game. And the Lord is fighting for them. What have we gotten ourselves into? I'll tell you this. You might feel like you got some sort of a victory in life. I'm out of Egypt. I'm out of that place of bondage. Maybe you've had some different sin hardships and sin patterns, and you feel like you've tasted some victories. I want to encourage you in this. Utterly destroy the enemy. Do not play with the enemy. Just because you're out of Egypt doesn't mean he still isn't coming for you. And God is saying, I know that you feel like you're free. I know that you feel like you're out of bondage. You feel like you're out of Egypt. But the enemy will not stop. Men, he wants to come for you. He wants to come for your purity. He wants to come for your marriage. Girls, he wants to come after your purity and your holiness. And just because you had a little moment and a high and a win, take his throat, because he is after yours. And we got to continue to fight for these places of freedom, right? To live in these places of freedom. And God's saying, I'm not playing with this enemy. I'm going to utterly destroy him. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And at daybreak, the sea went back into place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh, the entire army. All of Pharaoh's army, the entire Egyptian army is gone that followed the Egyptians into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. When the Israelites saw the mighty hand of God displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servants. You know, sometimes when we see the seas and the waves, God sees signs and wonders. And we see the hardships, and God sees the breakthrough. And we see the things that just don't seem to add up. And God, this thing is not looking good for me. I'm losing hope. And there's just that losing hope in the hardship. But don't focus on the sea and the waves. Focus on the signs and the wonders. God, I know that you're faithful, and you're going to deliver us through it all. We want to continue to follow the goose, even when the goose doesn't make sense. Had a cool conversation with Kathy this past week, and we talked about doing crossword puzzles. And I told her the kind of puzzle I like is a Sudoku puzzle. Anybody do Sudoku? And it's a mystery. And where does this number go? And this has to add up. And these nine numbers. I kind of got into Sudoku because I read an article about Michael Jordan, and he says that's what he does for mental strength training. Is that cool? I think that's cool. So he's like, I love Sudoku. He's like, I'm addicted to Sudoku. It makes me sharper. So he's like doing that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do Sudoku. And it's the puzzle, trying to figure out, man, God, and I'll tell you this, instead of being great at piecing the puzzle together, be great at trusting the one that's the Lord over the puzzle. God's good through it all. He presides over my puzzle. And this, confusing, complicated times can turn into when God is faithful and fruitful. Those times when I feel confused and it's complicated can turn into his faithfulness and his fruitfulness in my life. And in closing, here's the scripture that I just bank on. Psalm 65:8. Where morning dawns, where evening fades, you call forth songs of joy. I just want to encourage you, that night will come to an end. Morning will dawn. And God is calling forth your songs of joy. Come on, let's worship a faithful God. Let's worship a God who's been ferociously faithful in our life. He's been good. Even though the life's been hard, He has been good through it all. And church family, as we head into Thanksgiving, I just want to encourage a thankful song of joy to come out of our spirits. These next few days, you're going to head into times, hopefully, with some family, with some friends. And I just want to challenge our church that we would be the most thankful at the table. That we would be the most thankful in the room. Not to necessarily boast in it or talk about how good life is, but just to share how good and faithful our God is. Man, He's took me through some stuff. Man, He's brought me through some things. Man, He's helping destroy every enemy that's coming against me. And man, He's faithful to preserve my family through it all. This is the heart that we bring into worship and a heart that we bring into a Thanksgiving season. As we close this morning and we pray over our church family, maybe just wrestle through and you're saying, God, I just don't understand the puzzle. Or God, I'm asking you to help me trust the goose and we're going to go on this wild goose chase. Or God, I just pray that you would lead me out of these places of bondage where I would step into realities of freedom. God, I just repent for playing with the enemy. I need to utterly destroy that thing. Whatever those areas are, I know that God wants to bring freedom to His people because He's faithful to us this morning. Would you all stand with me as we close in prayer? We're just going to pray some of these good things over our church family. If you are a guest here, please just make your way to the back. Pastor Andrew's standing there. We want to get a gift in your hand. Let's just pray, family. Jesus, we honor You, Lord, as a faithful Father, as a faithful friend. God, we thank You that even though it's hard, even though life is intense sometimes, even though we've tasted of loss and death and disease, Jesus, we ask even in the midst of the hardship that You would prove faithful. Jesus, we put our trust in You. I pray that we would have an appetite to follow the goose. We would follow this wild Holy Ghost of heaven. Jesus, we pray that You would lead us with that cloud by day, with fire by night, that you would change the confusion and the complications into faithfulness and fruitfulness in our lives. And Lord, we just want to enter into this season with hearts that are thankful and grateful to You. Because You are good. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.